we're going further down the rabbit hole of right-wing extremism in Europe. Remember that Anders Breivik, the confessed Norway terrorist, said he once attended a meeting of the Knights Templar, which he said was a modern-day secret group carrying out a crusade against Islam. Then in his manifesto, Breivik cited a leader of that group, a man he calls Richard the Lionhearted. We now know that man is Paul Ray, who writes the anti-Muslim blog The Lionheart and confirms that there is a loose organization called the Knights Templar, but denies that he knows Breivik or endorses his violence. How do we know all this? Because of Stephen Lennon. Now, hold on to your hat. This gets complicated. Stephen Lennon, who goes by the name Tommy Robinson, is founder of Britain's anti-Muslim English Defense League. He told the AP about the leader of the Knights Templar, and while he also disavows the violence in Norway, his organization may also have influenced it. Anders Breivik claimed to have 600 Facebook friends who were members of the English Defense League. So what is the English Defense League? And what's the climate in Britain that gave rise to it? New Yorker staff writer Lauren Collins recently explored all of this in a piece she wrote for the magazine, and she joins us from London. Lauren, welcome.
Hi, Robin. Thanks for having me on.
It's just fascinating writing. So the English Defense League, only 2 years old, they've already had 24 demonstrations in cities across Britain. Who are they?
If you ask them, they would tell you they're a human rights organization. A human rights organization, and I'm quoting here, that exists to protect the inalienable rights of all people to protest against radical Islam's encroachment into the lives of non-Muslims. To their critics and to some of the people who live in the towns where they've staged their marches, there's something quite different. They've been called football hooligans. They've been called pub racists. A British MP said that they pose the biggest danger to community cohesion in Britain today.
And I mentioned that they have demonstrations and marches, but it's much more than that. You describe terrifying, almost attacks. For instance, one on a restaurant?
Right. There was a halal restaurant. I believe this was in Leicester. It's called Big John's. And last year in October, EDL members sort of marauding through the streets after one of these marches kicked in the door, and there were women and children just cowering in the back with all the ketchup. And you can see this all on YouTube. It's genuinely harrowing and menacing to watch.
In fact, we have some sound from that. Let's listen. So a terrifying attack on a Big John's fast food restaurant. But you met with one of the leaders of the EDL. He did not support that attack. Tell us more about Tommy Robinson.
Tommy Robinson is the nom de guerre of a 28-year-old man named Stephen Lennon, who is the leader of the EDL. And when I asked him about the Big John's attack, he condemned it. His argument is that these were kind of rogue elements, if you will, of the group. But as soon as he said that, he sort of launched into a moral equivalency argument and followed it up by saying, but the same thing is happening to us every day across England, and that's what the EDL is here to draw attention to.
All right. Well, we want to hear more about Tommy Robinson and the town that he comes from, Luton, in England. But give us more of that context. We were surprised to read how much violence from the Muslim immigrant community there has been in Britain. Just give us an example of some of the incidents.
Well, I think probably the most prominent incident was Rushanara Chowdhury, who had been a top student at King's College in London, stabbed Stephen Timms, a Labour MP, because he had voted for the Iraq War. She had been a top student at King's College. She dropped out after watching hours and hours of YouTube sermons by one of the Al-Qaeda leaders in Yemen. And after her arrest, the police asked her why she had done this, and she said, I wanted to be a martyr because that's the best way to die.
There was also a Muslim attack on a teacher?
That's right. That was earlier this spring, and four Muslim men were convicted of attacking a teacher in East London with bricks and with a metal rod because they didn't approve of a course that he'd been teaching on world religions.
And then in Luton, a town that we're going to talk about, when British soldiers returning home were marching through town, they were protested by Muslim men who lived there.
So that's how the EDL got started in the first place. This was back in 2009. Some soldiers were coming home from Iraq, and the town had arranged to have a little homecoming parade for them. So the soldiers were making their way to the town square, and en route, they encountered a group of a few, maybe 10 or 15 extremist Muslims who were holding up signs that said baby killers and the butchers of Basra. As you can imagine, a fight broke out. The people of Luton were upset. They were screaming, "You live off benefits." They were screaming, "England, England." And someone dumped a pack of bacon on the protesters' heads. Anyway, in the wake of all this drama, Tommy Robinson and some of the people he knew from football organized on the internet and decided to form a committee to sort of avenge this affront to the soldiers. And out of that was born the English Defense League.
So tell us more. The city of Luton is 30 miles north of London. It's now 14% Muslim immigrant. That's a much higher rate than the rest of the country. Tell us more about this friction. You know, I was reading your article, Lauren, in the New Yorker, and I'm thinking, gosh, I just seen West Side Story. This is like the Sharks and the Jets. And then you mentioned the Sharks and the Jets kind of aspect of it. What's the tension like between Tommy Robinson and his group, the EDL, and the Muslim community there?
I think I caught it as sort of Sharks versus Jets feud that's played out upon the topography of one town. It's interesting because these people actually, they all went to school together, they all knew each other, many of them were even friends as teenagers, but as their lives diverged, the town has become incredibly polarized. So Luton, as you said, is not far from London, but it's a bit of a different world. There's something called the Index of Multiple Deprivation that the English government publishes every year. And out of 326 English districts, Luton ranks 69th as one of the most deprived areas. Luton is a bit of a sort of testbed, you could say, for the multicultural experiment, with results that so far have not been heartening. There was a cleric who preached there who praised the September 11th terrorists as the Magnificent 19. The 2005 London transport bombers embarked from Luton's train station, and the Stockholm suicide bombers studied in Luton. So it has gotten a reputation as the hotbed of extremism in England.
Well, and this is what Tommy Robinson, again with the English Defense League, points to. And in fact, you mentioned how members of the Liberal Labour Party are critical of his movement. The government, the current sitting government, has also been critical, but Prime Minister David Cameron has made remarks about how multiculturalism, this idea of all these cultures living together, hasn't worked, and Tommy Robinson sees that as supporting his effort.
Right, and it's not only Cameron. It's Merkel, Sarkozy, and Cameron all have repudiated the multicultural experiment in recent months. So these legitimate fears about the allocation of resources and about the preservation of liberal democracy mingle, and at times indistinguishably, with racism and hysteria. And I think at the worst manifest themselves in this sort of totally unhinged violence that we see from someone like Anders Breivik in Oslo.
And Lauren, your description of the two sides in this town evokes the Sharks and the Jets in West Side Story or the Protestant Catholic divide in Northern Ireland a decade ago. By the way, you make a clear distinction between, for instance, the feelings and the anger of the Tea Party here in the U.S. and the EDL in Britain. It's a pretty astonishing comment from Tommy Robinson. He says to you, "We're not stupid. We know who our masters are. We just want them to do the right thing." In other words, he just wants the government to do something about his situation.
Right. Well, there are two key differences. The first is that the Tea Party isn't a violent movement. And the second is that the EDL does not want to overthrow the establishment. The EDL is not a political party. It doesn't have candidates. What it's trying to do is to get attention and to force mainstream political parties to take on its agenda.
So tell us more. In fact, you asked Tommy Robinson about Anders Breivik and any connection he might have to the EDL. What did Robinson say to you?
It's been reported very widely here in the UK that there have been links between Breivik and the EDL. Breivik had written on Facebook to EDL members to keep up the good work, that he had written about visiting some of their demonstrations, and that he may even have attended an EDL rally in Newcastle. The EDL strenuously denies these links, even though Breivik wrote in his manifesto that he was friends with 600 EDL members on Facebook and that he had sort of communicated with dozens of their leaders, and he claims that he had even helped the EDL to refine its ideology sort of as the organization was evolving. So I read all this and I wasn't sure what to think. I called Tommy Robinson, the EDL leader, who told me, you know, that in no uncertain terms he condemned Breivik's acts. But at the same time, he seemed to issue a sort of veiled threat, which is that he said, we don't want English lads blowing themselves up on our soil, but that's what will happen if they don't give us a platform. He was on all the shows, a very widely watched news program, and that's what he keeps saying over and over again, is if politicians don't pay attention to this undercurrent of anger, then there's a real possibility for more people like Breivik.
In fact, let's listen.
This man was a sick individual. You can never use terror tactics like he has used. But do we want to learn from it? The fact is, there's an undercurrent of anger across the whole of Britain, across the whole of Europe. If you don't address this issue, if you keep sweeping it under the carpet, and you keep taking...
No one's sweeping it under the carpet. I'm merely trying to establish the links between you and him.
In a democracy, you use your democratic rights. When you're aggrieved, you peacefully protest. That's what the English Defence League's done. We condemn all extremism. We condemn all violence. We are exactly what you would want as a grassroots organisation.
So, Lauren Collins, here we are. We're trying to paint a picture that has all the nuances. Tommy Robinson and the EDL say that they are not racist. They say that this is about a culture that won't assimilate. You went and spoke to the cleric in Luton who, at one point, trying to drive Muslim extremists out of his congregation, also said to you that he does favor Sharia law. He says it's the best law for the whole of humanity. And then made a comment about how, you know, we're not required to look like you, be like you, especially when we look at the state of you. You get drunk, you beat up your wives, you sell drugs. So he is sort of saying, why would we want to assimilate with that culture? But one can understand how that's being felt by a Tommy Robinson.
Right. I think it's important to make the distinction that the cleric I spoke with wasn't suggesting that Sharia law should be inflicted upon anyone, but he was saying he thinks it's the best law for humanity and therefore people should adopt it of their own accord. Beyond that, what is interesting is the situation in Luton has just become so polarized that the groups, their grievances against each other are almost mirror images. You know, each side was telling you they take drugs, they beat their wives, they were kind of...
Saying that of the other side, right. Mm-hmm.
And it's also important to remember that these tensions in Luton and in Britain at large are taking place against a very specific backdrop, which is the Muslim population has increased by 74% since 2001, coinciding with, in more recent years, a terrible recession and with the expenses scandal in which British politicians were found to have charged their constituents for things like the building of a moat in a private home. So there's huge anxiety and huge anger, and much of it is being projected onto Muslims and perhaps refracted back, as you saw in my conversation with this cleric in Luton.
Well, and you talk about this drama that's escalated. As you say, it's metastasized. You give us one scene, and again, it is right out of West Side Story. You're driving with Tommy Robinson and members of the EDL, and they decide to drive through the Muslim community, and they spot someone they think is a radical cleric. And he sees them and starts punching numbers into his cell phone, maybe calling for reinforcements. It's just, it would seem like an unbearable daily tension. And you write that it's perhaps moving out of the country in other ways. Robinson setting up fledgling EDL divisions in Sweden, Germany, the Netherlands, Australia, and he plans to be in New York on 9/11.
Right. Well, it's interesting, Robin, because, you know, I was riding around with these guys and they're kind of, you know, cruising the streets and calling their buddies. And in a way, you can dismiss it as a sort of small town turf war. But I think we see from, you know, what's happened in Norway that there is a danger that these groups, even while not endorsing acts of violence, they create a milieu in which this sort of thought will flourish on the periphery.
That's New Yorker staff writer Lauren Collins in London. She recently wrote about and explored the English Defense League. Some say there are ties from that anti-Muslim group in Britain to the attacker in Norway, but she takes us much deeper into the group. Lauren, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.